Let us pray. Kyrie eleison. Lord, help us to pray. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I was very thankful to Professor Reuning for choosing this day during this quarter for me to preach, because it enabled me to preach on the basis of the text you just heard, which according to the ancient church was chosen for the second Sunday in Lent. It's a Lenten text because it centers on two Lenten themes. First, the work of our Lord Jesus Christ in crushing the head serpent, in bringing about our deliverance and redemption from Satan and sin and hell. And second, it is a Lenten text because it tells us a great deal about prayer. It's a messianic text. The text traces the fulfilling of the great protevangelium, Genesis 3:15. Jesus appears here in this text not just as a friend, a social worker, one who has a little mercy upon a woman who has very, very severe problems and troubles. He appears as deliverer. This exorcism, like every exorcism of Jesus throughout his ministry, is a crushing of the head of the serpent, a destruction of the tyranny of Satan over the whole human race. It goes on and on throughout his period of active obedience, and then it finally culminates with his death, his atoning death on the cross, and his resurrection. The text is also a Lenten text because it is about prayer. You have in this woman's prayer, except for the example of Jesus, in my humble opinion, the most striking paradigm of what Christian prayer is and ought to be in the entire scriptures. Let's examine this woman, her prayer, and Christ's response to it. We have a great deal to learn from this story. Her background. It wasn't very good. She's a Canaanite, a member of an ancient race which was so evil that God commanded his own children to eliminate, destroy every single Canaanite in the world, man, woman, and child. A few survived, and they were living in this region just north of Galilee. Her race was against her. Her nationality, Syrophoenician, coming from one of the most miserable, depraved, violent places in all the world, Tyre and Sidon. I guess it's still that bad if you believe the news these days. But worse than all that, her home life. There's only one thing we know about this woman. She had a daughter, terribly demon-possessed. And I have a daughter with a very healthy, lovely baby, and she's busy. Think of what that woman must have gone through. For years, that was her life. She comes to Jesus with her prayer. Notice certain things about her prayer. Her prayer begins with a confession of faith. She knows the person to whom she is praying. Lord. The same Lord that delivered Israel from bondage is the Lord that can deliver her daughter and her and the entire human race from bondage. Much worse than Egypt's or Babylonia's. The bondage of the devil and sin. The Lord who can and will deliver those who pray to him. Son of David. A messianic title, addressing that man before her as the one person in all the world who can give mercy, who can save her and her daughter, and bring all the blessings of God into her life. What does she pray for? Mercy. I've checked it out with a couple of our exegetes here. And she must have spoken in Greek. After all, she was a Syrophoenician. Jesus might have gotten into her territory. He might have stayed in his own. He was right on the border. And what is her prayer? Kyrie eleison me. The most fundamental, all-embracing liturgical prayer that the Christian church has ever known. An all-embracing prayer, I said. I am convinced that this prayer includes every petition of the Lord's Prayer. When you ask for mercy, you're asking that God's name be hallowed, that your sins be forgiven, that you not be led into temptation. You're asking for everything God can give in that one simple, all-embracing prayer. Notice third, the persistence of her prayer. The prayer life of a Christian, the activity of prayer is not punctiliar, but iterative. Prayer repeats itself. I can get kind of sick of the litany, but there's nothing wrong with repetition. This woman repeats herself. She's persistent. And she has to be. Because Jesus tests her severely. I don't think you have a case in all the scriptures of a person being tested more than this woman. Try to get the picture. He's aside with his disciples, having a little rest, fellowship with them. She finds out about him. It's her one great opportunity, now that he's nearby, to come to him and worship him and pray. So she bursts in and utters her prayer. And he completely ignores her. It's as though she just wasn't there. And she keeps on repeating, persistently, and makes such a nuisance out of herself that the disciples ask Jesus to send her away. Probably, you or daughter, get rid of her. Let's have a little peace and quiet around here. So he breaks his silence, but only to answer the disciples. And he says, "It's not. I'm not sent but under the lost sheep of the house of Israel." That's not exactly the kind of theological utterance that that woman needs at that moment, you might think. But that only makes her more persistent. And she worships him. Because, you see, prayer is worship, and worship is prayer. And she says again, help me, me. And of course her daughter. And finally he breaks his silence with her, but says something to her that just must, you would think, crush her completely. It's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the little dogs. You're not even a heathen, lady. You're a dog. Luther says that if Jesus had ever talked to him that way, he'd turn his back on him and never return. But not this woman. Her faith in Jesus was not merely in his office, but in his work. And now she has a word. And as it were, she catches him with his word. The dogs eat the crumbs. I'm a dog. You're right. I'm right when I say the dogs eat the crumbs. If I'm a dog, I demand the right of a dog and a crumb of your mercy. Is everything. A crumb of your grace is everything. There are no crumbs to God's mercy. You see what's happened? She has conquered him with his word. She has held him to his word. And her faith is victorious. He praises her faith. Really, I think he's praising her prayer. Great and persistent is your prayer, the fruit of faith. Now, what are all the lessons in this for us? I couldn't possibly repeat them, and I haven't got time. Professor Reuning restricts us to 10 minutes. But one thing is certain that we can learn from this woman: the power of prayer, and the fact that Christ always, always answers our prayer. Not always immediately, he may test us, and not always certainly precisely in terms of what we ask for. That would be disastrous. But he always answers our prayer and grants us mercy. And learn one other thing. When he called her a dog, she took him up on it and demanded the right of a dog. God in his law calls you and me something worse than a dog. Sinner. That law statement of God is true. And all you have to do is demand the right of a sinner. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And he's done it. And God will most certainly answer your prayer. And with your forgiveness and salvation, he will give you everything, everything you ask in his name. Pray with faith, as we just sang. For though he try you, no good thing can God deny you. Amen.